What's good, y'all? Rick Good here with another episode of 8-Bit Stories Presents, where I'm breaking down life, culture, and business through my own lens so that my kids will better understand me as a person and not just their father. A lot of that understanding deals with cultural identity and the role that it plays in my life, because it has directly affected my ancestors and, from the looks of things, will continue to impact the lives of my offspring. I'm not saying this so that the construct of race can be used as a crutch or a scapegoat. On the contrary, I'm saying this so that my children can find solace in knowing that we are the products, dreams, and aftermath of a diverse collection of individuals who have, against all odds and insurmountable adversity, continued to strive for excellence and have endlessly shown that we are everything that our ancestors have hoped for and more. So, now that I have your attention, and without further ado, let's talk about culture. Hope everyone had a happy Black History Month last month. A lot of people tend to forget it exists for the entire month of February and not just from the 1st to Valentine's Day. For those not in the US or any nation that recognizes the holiday, since 1976, the month of February has been designated as Black History Month to remember the contributions of the people of the African diaspora. I feel like I should drop a quick explanatory comment here. So, the African diaspora is the worldwide collection of communities descended from native Africans or people from Africa, predominantly in the Americas. It typically refers to, but is not limited to, those individuals who were uprooted from the mass-scale human trafficking campaign of Black Africans to lands self-claimed by those of European descent, an act rightfully known as the Rape of Africa. Over the years, the holiday has helped shed light on the ongoing egregious, inhumane, and unjust acts against Black Americans, most of which being blatantly obvious but willfully ignored. Because of the outspokenness from those who witness, speak out, and help amplify the voices of the oppressed during these acts, many institutions and privately owned businesses will usually step in to show their support, and that's a hard air quote, by the way, by offering items or sales with merchandise packaged in traditional African patterns. The hard air quotes are because, though a handful of businesses probably mean well, the majority, I feel, are just waiting until the Black History Month tide wanes. But I'll take what I can get for now until they figure out the error in their ways, I suppose. So, what's it mean to me anyways? Well, for me, Black History Month is a chance to remind the U.S. that even through enslavement, colonization, family separation, lynchings, brutal mass murderings, bombings, raids, scientific experimentations, and a multitude of other legally sanctioned war crimes committed to Black people by our own government, we are still here, we are still fighting for justice, and we are still here contributing to a nation that has historically rejected and refused equality for all, and we still rise. So, I love Black History Month, though I can't say that this was always the case. When I was younger, I never really paid it any mind. Growing up in Kansas in a largely white community, it wasn't something that we really ever discussed. And in school, it was very much business as usual. You know, Martin Luther King was good, Malcolm X was bad, Rosa Parks was helpful, and then there was peace type rhetoric. Then, once Valentine's Day kicked in, it was back to work. Even after my high school saga, when my network of friends included a circle that was predominantly Black and Asian, the ABC clique mentioned from some earlier episodes, I still can't truthfully say that we focused on any events or discussed anything pertaining to the month. It wasn't until I had started re-educating myself on social matters that I realized the importance of Black History Month. It's important to know of our accomplishments, achievements, and our heroes. So much of what we are taught in the U.S. showcase breakthroughs, feats of bravery, heroism, and resilience all through the lens and gaze of white Europeans. While always learning about white heroes and saviors may help instill a sense of purpose and pride in those white children and adults in the U.S., it only perpetuates the myth that no Black people in history have ever accomplished anything great, which leads to the mindset that they, our susceptible Black youth, will never amount to anything other than bystanders of greatness. This is why knowing your true history is so important, and this is why Black History Month matters. It's no secret, I love to flex my creativity, and my most recent undertaking has been to revive my hip-hop artist skills via TikTok raps. I love it so much that I'm planning a future series where I do a song breakdown to give a detailed description of meanings and inspiration for each track. Go ahead and do me a solid and follow my journey at TikTok at Rick Good Des. That's RYK Good DESU, all one word. Let me know which song resonates with you the most and why in the comments when you get there. My favorite is Second Form. That's the song you hear in the background now. It's too good. So again, that's Rick Good Des on TikTok. Much appreciated in advance. Peace and much love to you.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Three Fingers, a part of the Freshest Crew, co-host of the All Points Podcast. I want to give a big shout out to Rick with 8-Bit Stories Presents for giving me this opportunity to promote my podcast. Once you're done listening to this show, go ahead and do us a solid. Check out the All Points Podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. We talk about everything from pop culture, politics, hip hop, and all the crazy things happening in our everyday lives. So if you're into that or just a little bit curious of what we're talking about, go ahead and check us out. That's the All Points Podcast. Also, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and tell us 8-Bit Story sent you. There might be a little prize in there if you do. Well, I gotta go. Thanks again, Rick. That's the All Points Podcast, and we are out of here.
Thank you for listening to my dad's podcast. I hope you like it as much as I do. Don't forget to subscribe so that he can keep making more content. Arigato!
Alright, so switching gears from the month to the nation, let's chat a little bit about diversity in the US. These past few years have been interesting, to say the least. The last time I talked about culture was a year ago after the January 6th attempted coup. Unsurprisingly, a lot of individuals in the legislative branch of the US, you know, the ones who were in the building when it all went down, seem to paint a very different picture of that day and have been actively working to treat it as if it were some type of march to preserve the Republic or something. Whatever the case, it's still a thing 1 year later. But I'm not here to talk about the government and all of its issues in this episode. I actually wanted to talk more about private businesses because they've been having a bit of an identity crisis lately. Their identity crisis has been manifested from a time that media incumbents like to call the racial reckoning. This time in 2020 was fueled by a culmination of disgust felt towards individuals, law enforcement or otherwise, who have continuously perpetuated racism in our society, namely by unjustly murdering an egregious number of black men and women in cold blood and were exonerated of their crimes due to a broken and corrupt legal system that has willingly turned a blind eye to the weak laws that it's meant to uphold. So during the racial reckoning, several large corporations were very vocal in their support for the movement to combat racial injustice and said that they would pledge a collective $49.5 billion with a B dollars in response. To date, roughly 3% of that, or $1.7 billion, has been distributed and used for projects to increase upward economic mobility, home ownership, and better representation for black people in sectors that have a staggeringly low diversity count, such as tech, as well as donations to HBCUs, or historically black colleges and universities. Good to see they made it off the starting line. Now to see if anything sticks. Not to be a cynic, but 3% is a long way from the finish line. And if history tells us anything, it's that talk is cheap, especially when it comes to wealth distribution. Anyways, what I'm trying to get at is that it's been interesting watching how various businesses strive to be anti-racist. There's another word that I feel like needs a little bit of context. So, anti-racism encompasses a range of ideas and actions meant to counter racial prejudices, systematic racism, bigotry, and oppression of specific racial groups. Is usually structured around conscious efforts and deliberate actions which are intended to provide equal opportunities for all people on both an individual and a systematic level. Basically, it's the act of not being a tool who perpetuates and breeds racism by actively working to help provide a more diverse, equitable, and inclusive society from households to workplaces to nations. Businesses have been making a hard push to figure out how to become anti-racist because although most businesses may think they are, there's a distinct color gradation that happens from the bottom to the top in most business structures. This gradation is due to businesses being open to hiring a diverse group of marginalized individuals, but unwilling to allow them vertical growth into upper management positions, essentially creating a sort of glass ceiling for anyone aspiring to grow in their career. And to expand on that thought, the media hasn't been helping move that needle very much to the side of equality either. Prior to this past decade, most shows and movies portrayed executive positions as a sort of executive club where minority groups weren't allowed, and though it seems to be changing, is definitely a very, very slow process. So, what am I doing? What's my role in all this? One might ask. Well, to be honest, I feel like I've been sidelined my entire life, forced to watch while others tried their best to bring about change. And after reading a ridiculous amount of socioeconomic, social justice, and African American biographical literature, I feel as though it's time for me to put some skin in the game. My ancestors fought too hard for me not to. So here's the deal. This year, I've made a hard push to advance my career into the field of DEI. That's diversity, equity, and inclusion for those who don't know. Though corporations have had diversity initiatives in place for almost 60 years with the introduction of laws such as affirmative action, they haven't really made too many advancements that allow BIPOC, or Black Indigenous People of Color, the opportunities to succeed. Well, sometime around 2008, the term DEI was coined and started circulating around corporate America as a way to help promote those who are historically marginalized in the workplace. As it started to pick up steam, businesses started to develop divisions to tackle the growing concern of workplace inequalities, my 9-to-5 being no exception. So though I'm not going to delve too deep into the matter in this episode, I've managed to step up virtual meetings with several directors in the DEI space to gain some insight on how I can best forge a path towards transitioning into the same field. Although it only consists of a team of 5 individuals, the DEI department oversees a growing number of business resource groups, or BRGs, and their corresponding executive teams plus staff. The latest meeting that I held was with a corporate exec named Marcus, who gave me the idea of basically manifesting my own position. He mentioned that since we do not have a regional director of DEI for the West Coast, then I should just strive to make that happen, which isn't a bad idea, in my humble and unbiased opinion. So that's what I'll do. I guess I'll keep you informed of how it goes. All in all, I feel like the collective whole of corporate America is striving to reconcile the damage brought about from the nation's unwillingness to confront its past deeds and transgressions, no matter how slow the process may be. As a nation, we've been crying for the government to change legislation to better represent the nation as a whole and allow it for more fair and equitable workplaces, but we fail to remember that the government is owned by corporate America. They pay for campaigns, lobby for laws, rally employees together to vote for or against propositions, and ultimately help put presidents in power. So, if we can enlighten the minds of those at the top of our largest corporations, then I feel as though we could truly see the change that we are all deserving of. And with that, I'm out. I appreciate you taking the time to tune in on another episode of Apis Stories Presents. I know it's not the most exciting thing in the world to do, but if you could take a moment to drop a comment on Apple or Facebook podcasts, then that would be much obliged. Also, don't be shy. Be sure to like, follow, share, tag, or whatever. But if that's too much to ask, then I'll just ask one more thing of you. It's to always stay awesome and stay powerful. Peace.